Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Advance. Number one, the chain. Number two, the choice. Number three, the challenge. The Roman Praetorian Guard, the Imperial Guard of Rome, those who defended the Caesar at all costs. They were the elite crack troop within the Roman army, sophisticated, educated, trained to kill. But not just trained to kill, but trained to build. They chose the brightest, the best. Some of them would go on to be generals. Others would go on to be politicians. Others would go on to be those who were business tycoons within the Roman Empire. If you wanted to influence Rome, and if you wanted to influence the known world, these were the men to reach. I remind you that we're looking at the 50th book in the index of your Bible, the 11th book in the index of the New Testament, with four chapters, 104 verses, 2,002 words. Its theme is joy, mentioned over 14 times, and the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned 40 times. I remind you that the author is the Apostle Paul, the author of 13 books, 87 chapters, 2,073 parts of the Bible. Amazing. I remind you that he's in prison, under house arrest in Rome. And I remind you that from this place in Rome, chained to a Roman guard, he writes the book of Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, and Philippians. Last week, we were introduced to this book, the penman, the postcode, and the prayer. Now listen to what he writes. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The chain. The Apostle Paul, chained to a Roman guard. The Roman guard believes that Paul is chained to him. The Apostle Paul knows, by the sovereignty of God, that actually the Imperial Guard, the Roman Praetorian Guard, is chained to him. That he is the one with the opportunity to make the greatest impact from a prison, from that place of house arrest, less than 4 feet away. This Roman guard changed every 6 hours, which means that in the course of the 2-year imprisonment, over 3,000, potentially over 3,000 of the Roman Praetorian Guard could have been reached by the Apostle Paul. You see, to the Apostle Paul, the chain is a chain of honor. It's a chain of opportunity. It's a chain of courage. It's a chain of advance. As you read through the epistles, which were written by Paul under house arrest there in Rome, he speaks about the chains. He calls himself in the Ephesians the prisoner of the Lord. He says, I am an ambassador in chains. He speaks about his bonds. But he doesn't speak of them as if They are pulling him down. In fact, they are lifting him up and enabling him to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the most influential people in Rome. What's more, he will give it a defense in front of a public group where the whole guard might be on display. And to him it is a chain of honor. I'm imprisoned for Christ. For Christ. I'm his. He is mine. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is with me and has placed me here for his purpose at this time, for his glory. Not only so, it was a chain of opportunity. He writes, I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. It's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Everybody should know. I have such a wonderful Savior. Everybody should know, including these elite crack forces, these men of influence. This is a wonderful, glorious opportunity. What's more, this is a chain of courage. It's become a chain of courage to believers here in Rome and others who know about my imprisonment. Because my boldness for Jesus Christ in the midst of this affliction is actually filling my brothers and sisters with courage and boldness to proclaim the gospel. And not only so, it is a servant to advance the cause of Christ and to advance his gospel. What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. It's the picture. This word is a picture word of those who go before as pioneers and cut down the trees and cut down the branches and make a path. The chain of honor, of opportunity, of courage, and of advance of the gospel. My cage confines me round. Abroad I cannot fly. But though my wing is closely bound, my heart's at liberty. My prison walls cannot control the flight and freedom of my soul. Last week we found him in prayer. Imagine a Roman soldier chained to him as he kneels or stands and prays. Imagine as people, as he's under house arrest, come to visit him and he proclaims the gospel. The Roman soldier chained to him hears the gospel. Imagine being a Roman soldier chained to the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine that? Would you like to know about God? Would you like to know about sin? Would you like to know about Christ? Would you like to know about repentance and faith? Would you like to know about new life and abundant life and everlasting life? Would you like to know the way to heaven? Would you like to know the secret of living? Would you like to know Jesus, who's the joy of living? He's the King of life to me. The chain. Number two, we have the choice. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. The Apostle Paul was left with a choice. As long as Christ is preached, I'm going to rejoice in that. I'm going to reject the petty, and I'm going to focus on Christ. Can you believe it? There, the Apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not only plants church, but builds churches. The one who prays for the church of Christ. Can you imagine? It is not just his enemies. It is those within the church. And it's not just those within the church, but the leaders and the preachers in the church who are giving him a hard time. It's true. When the people of God say, we will arise and build, the enemy of God says, we will arise and oppose. I remind you that the biggest stones that were thrown at Jesus were temple stones. I remind you that the most difficult situations which we have to face in Christian leadership are the situations where there is no reconciliation, where someone wants to be critical and that's it. Can you imagine this? Paul says, there are some I know who are preaching the gospel out of goodwill. There are some I know who love me and are praying for me and realizing that I'm standing as an ambassador in chains for the defense and proclamation of the gospel. They're standing with me, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, heart in heart. But there are others. And it's not like that. There's envy and rivalry. There's selfish ambition. There's insincerity. They actually want to afflict me even more. Actually, it should be our daily prayer. All of us, our daily prayer. Lord, deliver me from the petty, from the ugly, from the being narrow and negative and nasty. Deliver me from complaining and comparing. Deliver me from criticism and cynicism. Deliver me, O Lord. Make me a Barnabas or a Barnabette. Those who encourage. Paul says, whatever. As long as the gospel is being preached, as long as Christ is being exalted, that's all that matters. I'm going to focus on him. That was the choice he made. Focusing on Christ. Focusing on the advance of the gospel. Looking to Christ, not his critics. Actually, someone came up to me once and said, I've got to confess to you that I criticized you greatly. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. I didn't know anything about this. Okay. It's amazing how amongst Christians competitiveness comes. Rivalry, envy, jealousy, pettiness. The Lord deliver us, all of us. Here's the choice he made. In the power of the Holy Spirit, but with strength of mind and will and purpose, I choose that as long as Christ is exalted, as long as Christ is preached, I will rejoice. Don't get me wrong. You know from the other epistles that if it was a false gospel, the Apostle Paul would oppose it. We know that. If anyone preaches a false gospel, let him be anathema. But the petty and the narrow and the nasty and the ugly, do away with. That is not to say that there are not times in our Christian experience when we need to confront people and confront issues and deal with issues and not hide them. But it's our spirit that matters. And here the Apostle Paul says, as long as Christ is preached, I will rejoice no matter what. The chain, the choice. Number three, the challenge. By way of application, take these challenges, apply it to our own lives. Number one, persecution advances the gospel. Yes, it does. Paul is being persecuted. The church is being persecuted. And yet the church is growing. You can't confine the gospel or the gospel ambassadors by chains or prison bars. Because the seed of the church was the blood of the martyrs. Isn't that true? It wasn't very long ago that we were praying for a breakthrough in China. Now there are 70 million Christians. If you're facing opposition or difficulty or persecution, the Lord Jesus Christ told us, blessed are you when you are persecuted for his name's sake. Number two, take this challenge. Difficulties are opportunities in disguise. They are. Every difficulty is an opportunity. Every setback can be a stepping stone. Lord William Thomson Kelvin, the father of physics, with more letters after his name than in his name and more degrees than anyone could imagine, used to gather his students round in the laboratory and say to them these words, when you come face to face with difficulty, you are on the verge of a discovery. What difficulty are you facing in your Christian experience? You are on the verge of a discovery. If you allow Christ to rule in your mind and heart and will and circumstance by his Spirit. Take this home. Number three, you can have your best witness in your worst circumstances. I tried to imagine what it would be like for the Philippian church to receive this piece of papyrus written by the hand of the Apostle Paul. And they're saying, he's in prison. How's he doing? And what's he doing? Is he okay? Okay, he's triumphing in his troubles. His best witness is coming in his worst circumstances. The Apostle Paul's most effective work was done in prison. Absolutely amazing. Am I speaking to someone here really struggling with singleness, having gone through a divorce? You know this, that with the help of our Lord Jesus Christ, that circumstance can be used for the advance of the gospel and the progress of your soul. Is there someone here who's been in hospital or going in hospital and you're struggling with the news that you've received? Do you realize that Christ could have placed you there at that particular time for a particular purpose of winning souls for Christ, sharing the evangel, even in those circumstances? Are you in a difficult marriage? Do you realize that you're there in order to present the gospel to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your neighbors, to your family? Your best witness could be in your most worst circumstances. Do you have a difficult boss? Do you have a terrible working environment? And you're wishing, I wasn't here. God has placed you where you are, here and now. I remember, even though this comes right from the book of Esther, do you remember Frodo coming to Gandalf when the whole world was in absolute chaos and saying to him, why have I come for such a time as this? And Gandalf, wisely, taking it straight from the book of Esther, says, no, Frodo, you are here for such a time as this. And if we could only grasp the sovereignty of God, you have an opportunity, some of you seeking work, unemployed, You have an opportunity to glorify God, to spread the evangel somehow, some way, in whatever circumstances you are placed in, whatever circumstance I am placed in. I remind you that wherever we are the ambassadors of Christ. We are the agents of his omnipotence. We are his witnesses here on earth where he has placed us. Take this challenge home. Focus on Christ and not your critics. If you feel as if the whole world is against you, if you think the church is against you, if you think you're misunderstood and misrepresented, if you're carrying a heavy burden, and yes, you know that the biggest stones were temple stones because the biggest problems you have are people, and they are people in the church. I call upon you, focus on Christ. On who he is. The fact that he is altogether lovely. Focus on him. On knowing him. On being conformed to his image. On being filled with his spirit. On spreading his evangel. Of being his witness. And take this challenge home with you too. Keep the main things. The main things. The main thing, the main thing. The Apostle Paul says in the midst of all this chaos and all the criticism, if Christ is preached, then I rejoice. If the gospel's preached, if the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed in the earth and the gospel advances, then I rejoice. Don't go off on tangents. Yes, there are lots of important things that Christians should stand up for. But nothing, 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 nothing more important than the spread of him who is the King of love, who lived the life that we could never live, who died the death that we deserve to die, whose blood was shed in our place, whose blood makes the foulest clean. Who is risen again in the power of an endless life. Who can transform individual lives and transform communities and transform nations. Keep the main thing, the main thing. I heard a remarkable story. Some of you remember Laura Maisie, Andy Maisie's daughter. Some of you remember how she was in a cast. Dislocated hips as a child, have to be placed in a cast. Laura is running from Rome to Canterbury. Running from Rome to Canterbury. It's amazing. She's overcome her affliction. When I heard that, I couldn't help but think whether or not one of the Roman Praetorian guards who had been chained to the Apostle Paul didn't go the same way and come to England and bring the gospel. Who knows? It's amazing. I remind you of what you really know, that Milton was completely and utterly and totally without sight. And yet, we have Paradise Lost. Beethoven was deaf, yet he gave us 600 symphonies. It's amazing. For every difficulty, there is an opportunity. Instead of being overcome, we can become overcomers. One of the great heroes of mine is Helen Keller. Is anything worse than being blind? Oh, yes. It's having sight but no vision. Whew. There's lots of people with sight but no vision. All their vision is limited. All their vision is on themselves and on their circumstances. And woe is me. She said this, I thank God for my difficulties, for through them I have found myself, my work, and my God. And she wrote, they took away what should have been my eyes, but I remembered Milton's paradise. They took away what should have been my ears. Beethoven came and wiped away my tears. They took away what should have been my tongue. But I had talked with God when I was young. He would not let them take away my soul. For possessing God, I possessed the whole. Some of you here who are new to Bridge Chapel in the last few years do not realize that you could be sitting next to, behind, or in front of someone who has amazingly turned their difficulties into opportunities. The history of Bridge Chapel has been the history of pain, the history of trauma, the history of illness and death. And yet there are people in this congregation facing trauma every day who triumph. Just the other week, we celebrated 25 years of the marriage of Dave and Sarah Webster. Some of us remember vividly, a couple of years before that, receiving the phone call, please come down to the Royal Hospital. Pray for my daughter. Her legs are amputated. She thinks she will never marry. She thinks she will never have children. She thinks it's all over. God has mightily used her. She uses her affliction to spread the gospel. Others here who buried their children use their trauma to spread the gospel. You can wallow in your self-pity if you wish, or you can rise up and advance. What will it be? David Livingstone said, I will go anywhere. As long as it's forward, God is at work in us. His purpose to perform. It is true. Though we are weak, His grace is everything we need. We're made of clay, but the treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses into His opportunities so that the glory goes to Him. The chain, the choice, the challenge. May God, by His Spirit, give us the grace to advance the gospel, whatever our circumstances. And for His glory. Let's stand and sing.